Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guests tonight are Maggie DeBrie and Linda Byrne, two artists working on the Vanishing Birds Project. The Vanishing Birds Project is a collaboration between visual artist Linda Byrne and writer Maggie DeBrie. And I want to welcome both of you here.
Thanks, Jan. Thanks, okay. Jan.
We're going to start with poems from Maggie DeBrie.
Okay, great. I'm going to read some poems from a linked work, Toilers of the Sea, that concerns extinction, transitions from an old world into the new. And it was inspired, actually, by the titles of the chapters of a book called Toilers of the Sea by Victor Hugo. So it's kind of a collaboration between myself and Victor Hugo. 3. Conversations interrupted. Got to drown you, huh? You don't drown, got to burn you up with infernal fire, huh? You don't burn, got to freeze you in the rings of Saturn, huh? You don't freeze, got to smite you till you shatter, shatter. Got to cover you with boils, huh? Got to afflict you with lice, got to rampage on your wife. Got to send you off into the wilderness, huh? Got to send you off into the wilderness, huh? Got to. In the past is a garden. In the garden is a tree. In the tree is a fruit. In the fruit is a seed. In the seed is a world. 4. Captain Clubin displays all his great qualities. In the world is a past. Unco Land, Babylon. The wind is cold, the candle flickers. Her skirts are filthy and filled with pomegranates. 1,000 upon 1,000 upon 1,000 years gone, and still men dream of her in the rush of the wind, the flap-flap of a nighthawk's wing. To become an astonishment, a hissing, out of this garden you must get. To become an astonishment, a fire in the bones. Get ye to the racetrack, girlie. That's where the sinners are. 5. Clubin reaches the crowning point of glory. Is it so strange, then, for a woman to yearn to burn? Not in a lake of fire, but as a lake of fire, a hearth, in a kitchen, in a town, in a land, in a world. A man's heart can just be a chunk of flesh, the heart of a carrion crow, the heart of a goose. A woman's heart is the remnant of a Beltane fire, lit not by a match, but by a rotating wheel. I loved everything I saw. My eyes weren't flesh, but whirlpools, spirals, spirals, down into the light. I shall say now what I loved. I loved the great bird wanderers, the kingbirds, the killdeer, the marsh hawks. I loved what the earth gave me, thorn apple and bitter plum, chokeberry, wild white indigo. I loved the swales and the wallows, the tattered snipe nests nestled in salt grass. A woman's heart is a grass fire, out by the racetrack where the sinners are, the flap-flap of a tent in the evening dews and damps, the call of a bugle, the dim and flaring lamps.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guests tonight are the poets Maggie DeBrie and the visual artist Linda Byrne, talking about their collaboration, The Vanishing Birds Project. The Vanishing Birds Project is a collaboration between these two women, and it combines ghostly, translucent nest sculpture created from plastic six-pack O-rings, the recorded songs of extinct and endangered birds, and spoken word. The goal of the project is to increase public awareness of the habitat degradation that birds have undergone in the past 300 years with the increase of human populations and of the ways in which the human experience has diminished with the loss of these indigenous bird populations. Maggie DeBrie is the author of Skells, Soft Skull Press, 2004, and Weep Not, My Wanton, Black Sparrow Press, 2002, the final book to be published by John Martin's Legendary Press. She is also the author of Willy World, from Cuz Editions, 1998, a book-length poem drawn from her experience as a New York City paramedic, which is included in the Black Sparrow collection. The first section of the poem served as the basis for the short film Welcome to Willy World, directed by Scott Saunders, which premiered at the Los Angeles Film Festival in 2001. Linda Byrne is a visual artist who lives in New York City. She has been exhibiting her work for more than 15 years around the country, with shows at the Anderson Center in Minnesota, the KHN Center for the Arts in Nebraska, and many shows in New York. Her latest exhibits include Recycling Nature, Real Form Project Space, Williamsburg, New York, curator David Gibson, and Boats in the Islip Arts Museum in East Islip, New York, curator Judy Kulikscan. So, welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah. So, I want to definitely talk to both of you, but first, Maggie, I want to ask you about the poems that you just read, and I want to ask you, first of all, about how you go about writing poems that are project-driven, or don't you see it that way? Do you write from the idea of bird and loss, or do you write from the idea of collaboration?
Well, these poems that I read today were actually written without an agenda in mind. I had come across this book in an old cabin of Victor Hugo's that obviously hadn't been opened for years. And when I looked at the titles, they were just so strange and from another time and world. And I had been thinking a lot about the passage of time and the way that the old world kind of moves into the new. And also the loss of things, the loss of species, the loss of people. So that was in my mind, but I just thought I'm going to write a series of poems, one for each chapter title.
Mm-hmm. So maybe this happened before the collaboration
existed? Yes, this was before the collaboration.
Okay. And Linda, maybe you can talk a little bit about how the collaboration came to be?
Well, also for me, I'd been working on, my work was commenting on global warming and loss, either organic things or also like buildings that have been sort of abandoned. And me and Maggie were both at an artist residency together and met, became friends, and kind of discovered that we were working with the same background, and then got together and actually came up with the installation project mm-hmm. based on the work that she'd been already starting and myself also.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about your work? I mean, the medium that you work with and what it feels like, what it looks like.
Well, for this particular idea with the vanishing birds, I have done a series of drawings researching extinct and endangered birds' nests and doing drawings of that, and also wanting, since I do sculpture, wanting to translate that into 3D, and decided to use a material that is also part of the degradation of these birds, and came up with the idea of using recycled six-pack rings from abandoned soda and beer cans that are actually causing death to many species, and came up with forming them, weaving them into nests.
Mm-hmm. Now, this... Your show, your installation, The Vanishing Birds Project, will be at the Musée des... How do you say it?
Minoian.
Thank you. Minoian Society for Cultural Exchange, which is in Lawrenceville, and it's located between 47th and 48th Street, below Butler, January 27th through March 4th, which is great. And opening reception Saturday, January 27th, from 7 to 9:30. And we'll repeat that with more information later. But I'm interested in this collaborative work, so especially for listeners and artists out there who have never done collaborative work, can you tell us just a little bit about the nuts and bolts of who does what? Like, a poem is written, how does a drawing, a nest is made? I mean, I can't, like, get my mind around how this sort of happens. Linda, why don't you start? So.
I feel, for me and Maggie, I'm sure collaboration is different for many visual artists working, but for me and Maggie, it was talking together and seeing each other's work and sort of deciding how we could combine it to make an installation and comment on what is very important to both of us, this vanishing world.
Yeah, for me, I felt very inspired by seeing Linda's work, and I wanted to... I had written some, you know, quite a bit about birds, but I wanted to create something new in collaboration. For me, that's part of the fun of collaborating, is that it sparks off things that you wouldn't do alone. Mm-hmm. So we thought about what vanishes with a bird and what's left. And, you know, their nests vanish, obviously. So the ghost's nest that will be in the installation, and their songs vanish. But fortunately, some of their songs have been preserved. Not so many of the extinct ones, but a lot of the endangered ones. So I wanted to work with bird songs and have them as part of the sound element, mm-hmm. along with a new text.
Okay. Could you read some more poems?
Sure.
Okay.
This is also from the Toilers of the Sea, and this was inspired... I was thinking about my grandmother who loved birds, and I was thinking she had probably seen the passenger pigeon, and she's gone now, and probably... I think most of the people who have seen a living passenger pigeon are gone. So the memory of that bird no longer exists in any human mind. And I thought about birds who became extinct before she was born and then during her lifetime, and that's what this was inspired by. The interior of the abyss suddenly revealed. One, birds who became extinct before she was born. The elephant bird, extinct 1700, whose enormous eggs were often stolen by sailors as curios. The giant moa, extinct 1850, a fierce denizen of the New Zealand grasslands. The reunion solitaire, extinct 1780, when captured made no sound but shed tears. The tana dove, extinct 1800, lived on wild nutmeg and had strangely yellow eyes. The blue dove of St. Helena, extinct 1775. So little is known of this species, no name has yet been assigned. The great auk, extinct 1844. Were slaughtered by being hurled alive into huge bonfires. The Tahitian sandpiper, extinct 1800, a shy white-winged wader. The painted vulture, extinct 1800, feasted on the carcasses of reptiles roasted in the grass fires. The Rodriguez little owl, extinct 1850, whose lonely twisting cry foretold fair weather. The mascarant parrot, extinct 1840. The last mascarant parrot died in the garden of the King of Bavaria. The Laguat's rail, extinct 1700. This whistler exhibited a morbid fascination with the color red. 2. Birds who became extinct during her lifetime. The passenger pigeon, extinct 1914, traveled in huge columns that coiled across the sun. The Bonin wood pigeon, extinct 1900, noted for its metallic golden-purple feathers. The Choiseul crested pigeon, extinct 1910, inhabited remote cloud forests. The Guadeloupe storm petrel, extinct 1911, was believed to embody the souls of drowned sailors. The Quelili, extinct 1900, made a curious gabbling noise when riled. The laughing owl, extinct 1900, lived in cracks in the limestone cliffs and laughed on rainy nights. The Carolina parakeet, extinct 1910, the only parrot native to the United States. The Puerto Rican conure, extinct 1892, fed in the cornfields and nested in hollow trees. The heath hen, extinct 1932, mated and traveled in groups of several thousand. The Guadeloupe flicker, extinct 1906, made a low chuckling sound while mating. The Chatham Island bellbird, extinct 1906, whose beautiful song sounded like bells. 7. An unexpected denouement. The word planet comes from the Latin word planon, meaning to lead astray, or in the passive form, to wander. I hide myself in an old law. Hala, I hide in song.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guests tonight are the poet Maggie Dupree and the visual artist Linda Byrne, talking about their collaboration, The Vanishing Birds Project. You know, I really like what you did with, you know, framing the extinct birds with the story of the grandmother.
I mean, thank you.
I mean, I think it creates a great sense of intimacy and loss. And but I also want to ask you about the, there's this really interesting convergence of, you know, cataloging and, which can be very dry, with the intensity, the emotional intensity of loss, which I think is a great juxtaposition. So how did you come up with that sort of framing?
I thought about what's lost with the birds. I was kind of astonished when I began to read about them at how many birds had gone extinct and birds that had lived in great numbers. And I thought, with each bird is a quality that doesn't exist in any other creature that vanishes with it. So I tried to zero in on that quality for each of the birds, and then just through the accumulation of extinct, 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 to bring home the magnitude of the loss.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though. It doesn't get sentimental or heavy-handed, and it just works.
Oh, great.
But I want to ask you and Linda, how, if there's a way that cataloging and that convergence of you know, the catalog and the intensity of emotional intensity, if that translates into the visual in any way in the show, in the installation, or if instead there's a complement to that in the show.
Well, the drawings that are also part of the installation are specifically a, like Maggie, a specific bird that either is extinct or endangered or threatened, and that's the title of the pieces, to bring attention to the specifics of the species that are disappearing. Mm-hmm. And the sculptures were done as I researched, learning how different birds make particular types of nests. So the sculptures are actually types of nests. And just the act of weaving them out of this material that is causing part of their demise, mm-hmm. Is the collaborative aspect and the attention to the extinction.
Mm-hmm. And there will be actual bird songs playing in this?
Yeah, the sound element is the Cornell Bird Lab was gracious enough to let us use recordings that they have of a couple of extinct birds, the ivory-billed woodpecker and a Hawaiian bird that's extinct, and then eight of the birds that were listed on the Audubon's 10 most endangered list this year. So those songs will be playing along with the names of the birds, mm-hmm. and you know, one small fact about mm-hmm. each bird.
Are there going to be any live birds there?
No.
Okay. Okay, we have time for more poems.
Okay, these are also from Toilers of the Sea. This is a little later on in the book. One, the harbor clock. I have this feeling that I will live forever, where the light has caught me, here, again and again. In the smell of the sandalwood, the smell of the blood, the smell of tar and dust and grass and crocuses, in the strong smell of sweat before death. There are so many degrees of blindness. Some eyes can perceive light but not motion, some motion but not shape. There are people, men mostly, who see nothing but degrees of brightness. Color, to them, is as unfathomable as the bottom of the sea. A voice came from the shadows. What did I see? A man in a photograph, drenched in light. A 50s guitar. A gray louse crawling across a gray arm. What once was, what once is. If I were as long as the light. Two, the harbor bell again. I have this feeling that I will die tomorrow, here where the light has caught me, again and again. I am walking on a gray beach with starfish and sharp shells poking my feet. Old folks from the Salvation Army home sit on the benches, watching the ocean roll into the fog. The smell of violets and candles, of dead fish and salt from the old salt sea. Out there, somewhere, is the old world. Past the white sun, past the curve of the ocean. It would take me 1,000 days to swim to that far shore if my arms were as long as the light. As strong as the light. If my eyes could peer into the deep beneath me and see the hulls and pieces of eight, the bones of heart crane, lightning glass and shark's teeth, and the beak of a spectacled cormorant tossing in the tide. Listen, I hear the slave chains and a sailor whistling, and the scream of a great owl burning as she dies. Four.
For your wife when you marry. Here, honey, it's a goblet. When a 19th century archaeologist discovered a 4,000-year-old skull with a smooth circular piece sawed out, he wrote that it had been polished in order to not snag on savage lips. But he was wrong. The edges were smooth because the bone had healed. An early Bronze Age surgeon repairing the damage of battle in a cave lit by fire. Knowledge piles up and is lost and piles up again. Bright ages, dark ages. Ancient Egyptians routinely performed what we now know of as cataract surgery and used moldy bread as a poultice for infected wounds. The tide churns up shells, starfish, dead sea urchins, but in the deep are creatures fantastical and strange, pulsing with light, able to withstand the pressure of 20,000 leagues. The waves break against my legs this cold March afternoon. I wish I was smoking, or maybe living in another land, with the light all hard and aching, and my life to begin again.
You've been listening to Maggie Dupre and Linda Byrne talk about their collaboration, The Vanishing Birds Project. The Vanishing Birds Project will be at the Musée des Minoans, there I said it right, Society for Cultural Exchange. And this is in Lawrenceville, between 47th and 48th Streets below Butler Street. It's actually at 4729 Hatfield Street. The opening reception is Saturday, January 27th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. For more information, call 687-2458. So thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
Okay. You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Joseph Wilk and Lauren Wolf. Please tune in every Tuesday night at 7 for Prosody here on Independent Public Radio, 91.3 WYEP. Hi, I'm Jan Beatty. This week on Prosody,
the Mascarent Parrot, extinct 1840. The last Mascarent Parrot died in the garden of the King of Bavaria. The Laguatz Rail, extinct 1700. This whistler exhibited a morbid fascination with the color red.
Please tune in for the poetry of Maggie Dupre and the visual art of Linda Byrne as they discuss the Vanishing Birds Project this Tuesday night at 7 on Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers here on Independent Public Radio, 91.3 WYEP.